It has been an awesome conference.
This
is our third day. And we just want to thank God for all that He has done. Amen. From the physical meals that you've been provided to the spiritual meals that you've been provided. And we are just grateful to the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tell your neighbor, we are on our journey. Ask your neighbor, I mean, are you on the journey as well, or you are parked by the roadside? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We started on day one in this journey talking about a vision. If you don't have this vision, you cannot continue on the journey. Then we began to talk about things that are going to help us. The vessel change. Servanthood. Receiving a father. Following a man of God closely. All of these things that are helping us on our journey to the mega church. Or I should say mega churches. It's not just one. So many mega churches. And yesterday we started talking about the art of preparation. Preparing your fighting skills. Your preaching skills. Healing skills. Well, this morning, I feel led by the Spirit to make a little diversion. Amen.
Amen.
In my mind, I was fully geared up to continue talking about preparation. But the Spirit led me to ask another angle of the preparation. If you remember on the first day, when I shared with you from the book of Isaiah, how the Lord compared His house to a mountain.
Do you remember?
This side you don't remember, or you were not here.
if you remember,
I said to you that building a mega church is in many ways like climbing a mountain. So all this time we've been preparing ourselves to climb the mountain. In fact, I should say that we are on our way, so we have been climbing. But this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit shedding light on the fact that you cannot climb that mountain alone. And that is why this morning we're going to be talking about the people who are going to be climbing this mountain with you. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to picture yourself at the foot of the Mount
Everest.
One of the high mountains in the world. You are about to climb. And you are ready to go. But you need helpers with you. Because as you climb, the oxygen becomes thinner, the air becomes thinner and thinner. So even to get the oxygen you need physically to continue climbing, it requires something. So all the while you're carrying, somebody should have been carrying your oxygen so that when you get to that point, you can get hold of your oxygen and continue to climb. If the time comes when you reach that point, if the person is not there, or the people, it's more than one person, if you continue climbing, you will die. So what is likely to happen if your oxygen carriers are not there is that you are likely to return. In other words,
you won't attain your goal. You will not fulfill your vision. You will not fulfill the call of God on your life. And so while it is important that you are in a fit condition to climb, it is also important that that team that you are leading is with you. Amen.
Amen.
Ah, you are quiet again this morning. No problem. Last year, I went on a journey to India. And my journey took me through a number of community towns, a number of places. And it took me to a town called Uti.
O-O-T-Y,
Uti.
Okay, Uti.
I was with a very nice group of people. And well, Uti was on my list of places we were going to. There was a pastor's group there we were going to meet. They didn't tell me before the journey started that the town we were going to was 2,500 and something kilometers above sea level. They didn't tell me that. Where I'm from is almost as flat as Malawi. It's flat. Where I'm from is
flat.
Hello? So we started our climb in a car, not physically. In a van. It was myself and another lady who does the books. So we were the two Ghanaians in the... And we were accompanied by a lovely Indian lady. The wife of a founder. You remember I told you the first time I went, I was welcomed so by a certain pastor, that's his wife.
So amene onda maya kunyumba abusa janmane no dana ndilandira nkani ya dzulo ija.
And her assistant. And her assistant.
Komaso assistant wao.
The driver.
A driver.
And a young man who, you know, later we understood that it was the Spirit of God that made her add that gentleman to the journey. So we were a group of six. And we were going up this mountain. And it was when we started the journey up the mountain that the young man turned to us in the car and he said, well, you are about to go up the third most dangerous road in the world. Why did he say it before? As we were climbing in the night, Pastor, in the night. We said, what are you saying? Then he said, well, the road is going up the mountain. And it has hairpin bends. I need you to describe a hairpin bend.
Yes, I just did.
Because until I went on that road, I thought I knew what a hairpin bend was. But as we began to climb this hairpin road. And we're going up. At a point, we saw a tanker. And my colleague closed her eyes and bent her head. And we continued. And the young man said, there are 13 bends like this. You see, there were hundreds of bends, but 13 of these dangerous bends.
Along
and we started counting. One, two, Three, four. After 3 hours, are we not finished? 5, 6. It's in the night and we are still going. At a point, this my sweet Indian pastor, she realized that her African friends were frightened out of their socks. And she began singing in the bus. And we began, oh yes, like a mom singing to her children. And she sang and she sang. And gradually, we made it up to the top. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to ask you something. Can I ask you my question? What would have happened to us if we were going up that road with a hostile, dangerous driver? A driver who did not recognize the danger of hairpin turns. What would have happened to us? If instead of singing songs, the lady started to tell us about how many people had died on that road. I'm just asking you a question. Because I have some mega church pastors here this morning. And your assistant is a dragon.
Hey!
And you are climbing the mountain with a dragon.
Wow.
Or you are climbing the mountain with an unskilled driver. Mother Barra says it's a suicide mission. Or you are not understanding my analogy this morning. Because remember, when we started, I told you that to build a mega church is risky.
It's risky.
So, the people who are with you are very important also. Amen.
Amen.
Some of us have people with us, but the people are greenhorns. Okay, sorry, that is a Ghanaian term. They are novices. It is dangerous to ride up a mountain road with a novice. Hello.
Amen.
It is dangerous to drive up that mountain with somebody who has another vision altogether. Your vision is to get to the top of the mountain. His vision is to scale through the trees down to the valley. If he does not share that same vision, what is going to happen to you? That is why the scripture says, write the vision. Make it plain that he might run that readeth it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Your vision needs to be clear. Man of God, you are building a church. You're looking for people, souls. You're winning souls to build your church. And you have added to yourself somebody who's looking for money.
Hey. Hey.
How is it going to work? How is it going to work? So I have come to Malawi, I've come with Albert, and then Albert is going to finish at the end of our days and give me the number of working hours. You are very quiet. But are some of you not paying bills for your instrumentalists, and or you don't do such things in Malawi yet?
What? What?
You pay according to the number of songs
played. I didn't even know that.
You are wilder than Ghana. I didn't know
that.
Because in Ghana, it's not per song. It's per session or per service. I didn't know that. My goodness. How is it going to work? That's the reason you've not finished building your church yet. Because at the end of service, already the offerings are not much. Then you must now divide it between the instrumentalists and who else gets money? The worship leaders.
Worship leader.
Maybe the ushers. Maybe. I mean, please, I'm just giving examples. And at the end of the day, there's nothing left. How are you going to build a mega church with that? The scripture is pretty clear about who is paid. But that's not my mission this morning. The reason they are taking money from you is because you have not trained them. The church is very quiet this morning. I think for once I'm appreciating the quietness. And I have to say everywhere that I go that the instrumentalists hate my guts. Because I love using them as an example. Hello.
Amen.
The people are your team members. And they need to share in your vision. I have a church of about 1,600 people. I'm the only full-time pastor there.
1,600 full-time.
Are you in the church? Yeah. Just so that you know, it means that all the other 20-something pastors with me are not paid. Including Pastor Albert.
Pastor Albert.
I just asked him, would you like to come with me? He said, oh yes. I said, find your ticket. Let's go. I'm sure you are thinking that I'm out of my mind. But it's because I learned it from my father. My father is a mega church pastor. We can go to a conference and there are 100 of us. We have bought our ticket. From today, carry yourself. Carry yourself. Stop eating God's money. Stop stealing God's money. Carry yourself. That's what he gave you faith for.
Amen.
And now we have become so lazy, you don't want to use your faith. That's why you are looking at your pastor to pay you. You are a lay pastor. You have a job. God is taking care of you. Everything else you do in the house is for the Lord. You see, I promised the Holy Spirit I was not entering into this subject matter. I don't know how I have found myself here this morning. But maybe we need to clarify it because you are a mega church pastor on your way and you must be with a team that agrees with you. If I was here thinking about how much I will pay Albert per hour, last night, what time did you send me the pictures when you finished editing? What time did you send it?
2 a.m.
So when we finished here, he had his supper, he sat down editing the pictures. At 2 a.m. I had the pictures of my phone. So he's now going to charge me. The conference started at, I started preaching at 10. 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then we closed. Then we relaxed a little. What time did you start doing the editing? Around what time? Around 7. Okay, so I've got 8 hours already. Then he started at 7. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1. That's another how many hours?
15.
She says 15 hours total. Sir, please name your price. How much per hour?
What if 15 hours are bus and dramas and got?
Just name a price. Don't worry, it's an act. How much? You know I will not pay you even if you call. I don't have it. So how much per hour? What? Please don't go to them. He says $1,000. I beg him. Please, he said what? Please give me an amount in. Please, can you translate?
Akuti awa imozi, mawa osa kwa na 15h. Ndepa awa ili yose acharge 10,000 kwati. Zulolo katulimene, right? Ndeku titoto ndibwa 150,000. Yota apatse Pastor Abbott.
And we started Wednesday, 150,000. Thursday, 150,000. Friday, 150,000. Saturday, 150,000.
600,000. Menabwela kuno situnzi zoka.
Brother, stay in Ghana. I'm just using the example so that we can see what is going on, the effect of what is going on. But woman of God, you are cheating him. You are. I say somebody is saying that I am cheating him. Really?
Hey.
I also am not paid by hour. I have earned an extra nothing for coming here. When I get back to Ghana, my salary is fixed. Bam, like that. It doesn't have anything to do with how many people I preach to. How many? It has nothing to do with anything. It's a salary. No, no, no. It doesn't have anything to do with how many offerings I've raised. How many? Nothing, nothing.
Salary yanga ndi mene imakhalira. Sikuti kuno awerenga kuti kunabwera anthu 20 ndalalika ka 15. Salary yanga kati inali 10,000 ndikapeza be 10,000.
Please ask your neighbor, do you still want to be a mega church pastor?
Afuse na zanu mukufuna kukhala be mbusa wa mpingo wa ukulu. Mukufuna be.
Still want to be a mega church pastor? Let me tell you something. You see, that mind we have that somebody is cheating us.
That mind.
It doesn't allow growth. As we are here, is our father cheating us? Is he cheating us? Is he cheating us?
Bishop, we
rather are honored to be called by him.
Bishop.
Ah, so what happens to the church money? Pay us a visit in Ghana. We will show you buildings. We will show you buildings. We will take you to an akazo. I think we need to organize some pictures, eh? We'll take you to an akazo. A whole, even the government marvels at an akazo. They cannot believe that it has been built by a church. You have 6 branches, you have only 1 church that you have built.
Branch 6.
Do Bishop Doug has thousands of churches.
Bishop Doug has a church, thousands.
Even the churches in the village, deep in the village, they are in a building.
They have only
20 members, but they are in a building.
You
have left yours under the tree. Because you are paying your instrumentalist and paying your worship leader and paying your usher and paying.
Ndalama ya tera wapi yano? Antu mwasi ya basi mantengo?
Pastor Iso, I think, you know, sometimes when I go to preach, I tell the pastor who drives me, I say, Dennis, turn the car, let it face exit. In case I need to run for my life.
Amen.
Amen. If Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the 12 were billing Jesus, I want to ask you whether you and I will have the gospel today. Oh, Pastor, then how are we supposed to live? Don't worry, I came for you. Thank you. I came for you. Are you in the house? You see the way I'm scrolling my notes, you can see that I was not planning to preach it. But you see, the sooner you find your faith, the better for you. The sooner you purify your motives, the better for you. If you came into the church because you wanted to serve God, you will meet God. But if you came because you wanted money, you are in for trouble. Luke chapter 9.
Verse 3.
I'm reading from 3 to 5. Jesus was sending his people. Take nothing for your journey. Neither staves, nor scrip, nor bread, nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. This was how Jesus sent them. This was how Jesus sent his people. And look at what he says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 35.
Luke 22:35.
And he said unto them, when I sent you without... Okay, good. They've given me New King James. Let me read that. He said to them, when I sent you without money bag... Oh, my brother. Without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? They said nothing.
Tumba kapena sabato. Koni inu mna soa kantu, iyo anayaka kuti palibe chimeneti na soa.
Do you know why you don't have much money?
Mkutuwa nifajake mulibe ndrama?
Because you are looking to a man to give it to you.
Chifojo kuti mkuyanga na muntu kuta kupase.
I want to ask you a question that Bishop Oyedepo was asked one time by God. He said, can you look with one eye on the ground and with one eye up? Please try it and let me see. One eye here, another one here. Is it working? No! And he said, God used it to teach him, you are either looking to me or you are looking to man. The reason you are struggling financially is because you are looking at man. Are you there? Hey, I tell you, it's not an easy day. Where is your faith? If you will agree that it is the Lord sending you, that's all. That's all. Bishop Doug has never received a message from me.
Bishop Doug sanandiebo message uchokira kwa ine.
Oh daddy, we are hungry.
Ah, tiri ninjala kuno.
We need some money.
Tufuna ndalama.
Do you think we don't need money?
Muganza ndi ndalama sindizifuna? Sindi store?
Pastor Iso, you don't need any money, eh? Yeah, all right, you don't need money. Aha. All of us need money. But until you learn that God is your source, you won't go much further. I said, God is your source. Your salary is just maintenance money. It doesn't do much. We have pastors who can go on a riot over their money. They say that their pay is not enough. They are looking at the wrong source.
Hello.
What did your Bible say?
Bible lanu likutichani.
Ask.
Pempani.
And keep on asking.
Komaso pitizani kupempa.
Seek.
Funani.
And you will find.
Mudzapeza.
Knock. And the door will be open. It didn't say ask your pastor. Seek from your pastor. Knock on your pastor's door. Am I talking to some people in the house? Hey. You see, Holy Spirit, you see why I didn't want to go this way this morning. But I guess we need to go there. If the team is to agree. If the team is to agree, we need to go there. This morning, I'm just trying to direct your mind to the God who said he is sending you. Don't run, don't jump to conclusions. You see, sometimes a conclusion is made. Oh, senior pastor does not have any needs.
Ah, senior pastor,
Bishop Felix, Mama Bishop, you don't have any needs. Ah, that means you have needs. So where should he also carry his need to? The way he's looking at God, that's how you two should look at God. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I can show you many reasons why financially it is not working. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall God give it to you. But if we ask, if I say now, give to this conference, I will see your manifestation.
Bible unena kuti perekani ndipo mudzapatsidwa adzakupatsani ntumba mwanu muyeso wabwino otsenderezeka okuchumuka koma ndikanena kuti tieni tipereke ndrama kunsonkhano uno nkhoka kuyamba kuvinya.
For with the measure you give
muyeso mene mmagwiritsa ntchito
is that measure that it will be used to measure back to you.
Adzakuyesereni nanuso polandira.
And when you are coming to church,
ndipo kamabwera ku church,
then you find, you see the tin tomatoes. I don't know if you sell tin tomatoes here.
Yes.
You have big container, small container?
No, we sell in jumbos, plastic papers.
Plastic paper.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So,
tomato.
You have found a small paper and put your offering inside and you brought it.
And
then you want to harvest like somebody who put it in a big paper. Look at the bottom of the scripture. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. God is not saying that you should go and steal somebody's money.
No.
If you have 10,000
kwacha,
that's what you have. When you bring him 5,000
kwacha,
you have given him 50% of what you have. And if somebody has 100,000 kwacha,
the winner will 100,000 kwacha,
and he gives God 5,000 kwacha,
yeah, 5,000 kwacha,
you have given more than that
person.
Are you getting it? That's why when Jesus was on earth, he was looking into the offering basket. Some of you have forgotten. He was looking inside the offering basket. And he saw the lady, the widow who put 2 coins. And he taught his disciples. He said, she has given more than everybody. Why? Why did he say that? Because she gave everything. And so he says she has given more than some people who brought more, but they had more than that over
there.
So I have the pleasure of asking you, have you been giving according to your capacity? You see that I'm not even looking at your face, so that if you are frowning at me, I won't see. But I'm showing you the source of poverty in the church. You have made your man of God your source. It's against the scripture. And it will lead you to poverty. Rather use the scripture. Use the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Am I talking to some people in the house? Yes. But pastor, you see, senior pastor has a house. Me, I don't have a house yet, so I'm saving to get my house. Good luck. How many months savings in Malawi will get you to build a house if you have built a house? Have you seen that you are even laughing? That is a very funny question. The reason you may not have a house, and you see, pastor, the Christians, we put aside what God has given us, and then we go and steal like unbelievers. We are in our jobs and we are cheating just like an unbeliever. But he has told you what to do. You are looking for a house. How do you get a house? Plant a seed. What did he say? Give, it will be given to you. You see, I have not come to preach theory to you at all. I have not come to preach theories. Many years ago, we also were renting a house. We wished to pay to live in our own house, but we couldn't afford to build a house. And one day we were in a convention, and the pastor who had come for the convention, he said to us, tomorrow I want you to bring a seed, you know, think about it. A seed is an offering you've thought about. Come and plant it in the house of God. As soon as he spoke, I heard a voice. In those days, we were living in
Tamale,
which is a far distance from
Accra.
My parents were still alive at that time, and they were getting old. So I had some savings I had put aside. So that like a good daughter, the day I get a call saying your mother's not well, your father is not well, I will have some money that I can take with me, get down to Accra and sort the problem out. That night when the man of God said, tomorrow I want you to bring an offering, a special offering, as I sat in my seat, the Holy Spirit said to me, you see that money you've been saving? I said, what about it? He said, tomorrow you bring it and you give it in that offering. I said, huh? So well?
Okay.
If you have worked with the Lord for some time, you realize that it is better to obey than to disobey.
So,
I got the money, I put it in an envelope. I came to church, and the man of God said, all of you who have your special offering, stand, let me pray a prayer. I lifted my envelope with a trembling hand. And as he started to pray, the tears began to pour. My husband was standing by me. And so, as I put my hand up, put the microphone here. I had put my hand up like that, with the envelope in my hand, and he just covered my hand and held me there like that. And the man of God prayed. And then when he prayed, he said, bring your offering.
He
said, just place it on the altar. So I came and I placed it. And as I turned to go, he pointed at me. And he said, I see you owning your own home. 1 year, Pastor, 1 year after that word, we were in our own home.
Hey.
And from that day to this day, we have never paid another person rent.
Hallelujah. Mene matembe nuka kuchoka pa guwa. Muntu wa mulungu anane na kuti ndikukuonani muli ni nyumba yanu.
In fact, let me correct myself. We paid rent briefly when we moved to city. And then God sorted us out. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? You have your own faith. Work with it. The Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. You have faith.
Use it.
You may not start with wanting to build a house. You can start by asking him for money to go to the market. That is if you have been doing your part. Because remember, he told us we shouldn't steal from him. Tithes and offerings, he told us.
Wow.
Is something changing in your mind? Is something changing in your mind?
Amen.
Are you going to stop trying to look at the man of God and look at God and start just looking?
Amen.
Amen. Because on the way in ministry also, you will need money for things. In the ministry.
Yeah.
If God does not take you through the school of believing him for the things you need, how are you going to believe him for the larger amounts you need for the work of the ministry? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you with me in the church this morning? Are you going to be standing by your man of God and stop eyeing what he has? Your source is the same as his. Go to God. I said your source is the same as his.
Hallelujah.
You want to have, you better start giving.
I
said, you want to have, you better start giving.
That
I cannot feel it. And I said, you want to have, you better start giving. Oh, but God, I don't have anything to give. It is not true. You have two shoes, give one. You see, you don't like my preaching again. No, it's true. Ladies, are you in the house?
Asmai, tiripo.
When you go home, I want you to go and look at the place you keep your dresses. Any dress you see that you have not worn for a year,
dress
pack it and give it to somebody else. Pastor, the ladies are not happy with me at all. Oh. You know what will happen when you do? God is the one who will begin to dress you. Yeah. I'm sharing something with you. It's one of the secrets of my life. Just open, I'll take out anything I haven't worn. There's always somebody. And I will be there. And somebody come, Mama, I have this for you. Mama, in a short time, I have more than I can use. Then I'll do it again. And when I do it again, he multiplies it. Are you in the house? One time I opened up where I put my earrings. I said, I don't need all these things. I just gave it to all the my young ladies, I gave everything. Pastor, a short time later, I was complaining. I said, I don't have enough space now. So much has come. This one from here, this one from here, this one from here. That is how God has determined that we should prosper. Stop writing your own Bible. I said, stop writing your own Bible. The Bible that says, keep and you shall get more. It's not the Lord's Bible, it's your Bible. But the Bible of Jesus Christ says, give and it shall be given. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't have anything. You have something. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. It's very hard for me. I said you have something. When you get home, just go and check how much beans you have. You have 2 cups. Give away one. You have something. I said you have something. One day the prophet Elijah, in the middle of a famine, he went to a place that the Lord sent him. And he met a widow. And he said, I need some water. Then he said, oh, when you are coming, bring me a cake also. And the woman said, look, I have just enough to make something for myself and my son. And we will eat it and then we will die. And the man of God said, make it and bring it. And when she brought it, then the man of God prophesied. And he said, that flour will never finish. That oil will never finish. As long as the famine is there, it will never finish. The woman had to give it first.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm rescuing some churches this morning. I said, I'm rescuing some churches this morning.
Yeah.
When we are in the house of God, what we do for the Lord is our service to Him. He will pay us. When you begin to take money for it, you contaminate the gift. I said you contaminate the gift. You are a talented instrumentalist. Begin to believe God and begin to see whether the Lord will not begin to anoint your instrument playing. For as long as man is paying you, you won't see that level of anointing.
Ngati mumaimba zida, mkhulupirireni Mulungu kuti Mulungu akhoza kukhala gwero lanu la zose. Koma mukamalandira ndalama, simudzaona kudzodza kwa Mulungu.
Wow, are you in the church? What even pains me is that when you finish paying them, they don't respect too. They don't, yeah, they give the pastor attitude. Please, I'm not in Malawi. I don't know how it is here. But in Ghana, after the pastor is paid, he will be preaching and they are sitting under the tree outside. They will not even listen to the word. And the reason is because they are hirelings. They are not children of the house. They are hirelings. Jesus taught us, he says, I am the good shepherd. I give up my life for the sheep. The hireling is not so. You pay him when the sheep are in danger, he runs away.
Yes, I wouldn't.
Wow. Are you in the house this morning? I hope you are thinking. Pastor, when you go to your church and you say, from today I will not pay the instrumentalists, they will leave you.
Hakachoka.
They will all leave you. But there is a solution if you plan to go that way. How many of us have children in our churches? Can I see your hands? You have children in your church. You have children in the church. Yeah. Beautiful. We organize the children and we say we have sent them to Sunday school. I don't know what you call it here.
Sunday school.
Yes. It's a mistake. You have come to church. You've sent your children to Sunday school. Hello. You see, I'm taking it slowly because I'm measuring my words. From today, I don't mind what you call it, but it's not a school. It's a church. It is a children's church. It's not a Sunday school. Amen? Now, if it is a church, arrange it like a church. Oh, may the Lord help me. A church has a pastor.
Church imakala ndi mbusa.
You have given to your children the sweet grandmother or the sweet lady or that woman who has children, and you've made her babysit your children. That's why you don't have anything and you are paying instrumentalists.
Mwapangitsa Sunday school yanu mwapereka ana anu kwa agogo ena age kuti azanganira ana
The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But the person you have put in charge of the children does not pray. How do they teach the children to pray? The person you put in charge of the children does not particularly like the word of God. How are they going to teach the children the word of God? No wonder they are putting them in front of the TV. No wonder they are putting them in front of the cartoons on Sunday morning.
Muntu amene mwamusiyira kuti ayang'anire ana sakonda kuwerenga mawu a Mulungu akaphunzisa bwanji ana kuti akonde mawu a Mulungu kena kwangotenga TV ana azionera TV azionera makatuni ku Sunday school.
Makoba sekata ya babori ya dala masanda ya mateka ya moshika ya baha. You say that you are a pastor. So your children will grow up properly. I came to inform you today that as far as it concerns your children, you are not their pastor, you are their parents. Every child deserves a pastor. Do you see why our children are not going the same place with us? Do you see why they don't like what you like? Because you are their parents. You didn't give them a pastor. So nobody taught them how to pray. Nobody took them on camp meetings.
Anatu ifengata zibusa tidziwe kuti ife ndi makolo awo koma mwana aliyense amaenera kuti akhale ndi mbusa
mandolo busaya. I'm sharing something with you this morning.
Ndugawana nanu china chake.
Many years ago,
zaka zingapo zapitazo,
Bishop Doug took a young man.
Bishop Doug anatenga nyamata wina.
He was not even married at the time.
Time ene nyamata analosa kwatira.
And he said, look, I need somebody to pastor the children.
Ndufuna wina wake wouti akhale mbusa wa anawa.
Not to Sunday school the children.
Osati kuhanga ali ku sukulu ka Sunday school.
To pastor the children.
Koma akhale mbusa wawo.
He said, teach them what I teach the adults.
Ukaphuzitsa anawa zimene ine maphuzitsa akulu-akulu.
And this young man
nyamata ameneyu
came into the system and began to organize our children. Ever we were in the country, I was also a children's pastor. I learned to do what I'm doing by doing it with children. He taught us to teach them. He taught them to learn the scriptures. Hello? It was a church.
Chalichi.
It had a choir.
Ukalaso ndi choir.
It had a praise and worship team.
Praise and worship.
It had instrumentalists.
Oimba anao.
We taught the children to play instruments.
Tinaphuzitsana kuimba zida.
Are you in the house? I don't know how much of his vision Bishop Doug already knew. I don't know.
Sindikudziwa kuti kodi a Bishop Doug angadziwa bwanji za masomphenya anyamata kuti afikira pat.
But I have to tell you,
koma ndikuzeni,
that all our young pastors,
kuti azibusa athu onse achinyamata,
who are young bishops,
amene ndi mabishop tsopano,
are products of that man's ministry.
Ndi ochokera kutumikiwa nyamata amene uja.
Yeah. They prayed all night. Most of you, when you come to all night, you have left them in the house.
Night of prayer.
Or you have brought them to give them, and maybe you have no one to leave with them, so you bring them and give them a nice corner to sleep. That's okay. Because you are a parent. Allow their pastor to take them on the all
night of prayer.
Are you in the house? Hello? My first son was brought up by Bishop Oko. As his name was Bishop Oko. He was brought up by
him.
This my son had taught himself to play the piano. But after he encountered that bishop, many things changed. And I remember that many times at night, he would sit in his room on his piano, and he's just worshiping. And he grew up like that. Not because of his parents, because of his past. Because of his past. Now, why have I digressed into this? To talk about the children. Because there is one aspect of children. And that is that they grow. My mother's people have a saying.
They say,
children are not ears, they grow. You know, your ears don't grow much from when you are a baby till you are an adult. It's not much growth. So they say children are not ears, they grow. So that child that you don't think is so important, at the age of 8, in 5 years, that child is
13.
In 10 years, that child is
23.
So if you had given them a church, when your instrumentalists who are charging you money leave you, your children who are growing in the church would have replaced
them. Peter, anatu abangazimenes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you have no instrumentalists, it's because you didn't create any.
Shimene mukusowera oyimbazi ndifacho kuti simuna konzekere koyambirirako.
Another thing about children,
china so ndiana,
is that when their friend does something, they also want to do some.
Akaona nzawa kupanga chinthu amafuna kuti apange chomwecho.
My last son was 3 years old when he started playing the drums. All the young children who looked up to him play the drums. Because that's how children are. So there's no shortage of drummers. That's why these instrumentalists are collecting your money.
Hey.
Hello? It's a bit unfortunate, but we lost that bishop in December last year. I don't know if God had told him he would die at the age of 52. But it was when he died that we discovered that he had written everything he had done in 3 books. From the start, how to set up your children's church, how to bring them up, how to find a pastor for them, what qualities should be in the pastor, what the pastor should teach, how to bring those children up. He brought, put them all in these 3 books.
Zonse kuyambira pokuti kodi timakhazikisa bwanji church chana mbusa wakakhale otani zonse zinalembedwa mabuku atatu.
And it was at his funeral that Bishop Doug launched the books.
Nde panali pamaliro awo pamene mabuku anakhazikitsidwa.
I didn't bring many copies with me, so if you are looking for the copies, go and bribe Bishop Wood. He's the only one who has. These are my own.
He has
a few copies of them. And change your children's church, your Sunday school, to a children's church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you in the house? Hey, you are very, you are quiet this morning. But you see, I need to tell you that the spiritual experiences you have, children are fully capable.
Them.
My children went to a camp.
Ananga anapita ku kampu kusonkhano wa misasa.
And during a prayer session, there was a young child there praying with. They were all praying. And the child began to have a conversation with somebody. That child had an angelic visitation right there. Oh yes, spiritual camps, not camps to go and play this basketball. Hey, the church is quiet on me this morning, oh. Pastor, you have to rescue me soon. Are you in the house? When we take them on camps, there's no basketball there. We do exactly what we do in adult camps. And the children grow like that. They grow like that. In my church currently, I'm just very close to the university campus. And so I have been blessed to have the children of about 25 of our bishops in my church. And these are children who grew up in our children's churches. So I'm having a very nice time with them. Remember I told you that the sound people in my church were messing up? And I was wondering when I sack them, what is going to happen? I didn't sack them from the church. I just told them, just leave
there.
And the children came. Mommy, we can handle. We can handle. We can handle. Because in the children's church, it's not adults doing the sound. It's children who have been taught to do the sound. And now those children are now 18, 19. Some of them are in my church and they say, please, we can do the sound. I have perfect, crisp sound from the children.
Hallelujah. Amene sopano mapanga sound. Ndi anyamata atsikana omwewa amene anaphunzira zimenezo ku children's church. Ku children's church.
Are you changing your children's Sunday school to a children's church? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you see, it bears fruit. I also was the pastor of children. During a camp, I preached to them. I laid hands on them. I blessed them. I spoke over them. Years later, I was walking around at a camp. And I heard somebody shouting behind me. When I turned, there was this young lady. And she gave me a hug. I have not seen you for a while. Then she says, I've not seen you for a while. And then she said, do you remember that you prophesied over me that I would become a lawyer? I said, really? Yeah, I don't remember. She said, you did it twice. Well, I just came out. I wanted to hug you because I have just entered into the law school. That child is an adult today. When my church got to the point where we needed to expand, when we had spent so much money trying to build and expand the church, I had to hire chairs every week. And I was just bleeding money on hiring chairs. It was that child. She was no longer in the same town like me. She had grown up. She was working, she's still a believer, and she called me. And she asked me a question every pastor would like to hear. Do you want to know the question she asked me? Are you sure you want to hear the question she asked me? The question she asked me is, Mommy, do you need chairs? I almost fell off my chair. She says, I'm sending you some. I was in Kumasi when an articulated truck arrived on the compound of my church.
Pastor.
I was eating the fruit of my little child. You be there saying it's a little child, you don't mind them when they are passing. Some pastors, when you get back, you have to change the people in charge of your children. Change. Yeah. We like to think we have given them a motherly person. But maybe you have to go and find some skinny girl or skinny boy who loves God to look after them. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor, should we do a prayer, a small prayer, something over this children's church matter? Because I feel that something must enter us and something must change in us. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that you are not, you understand that they must have a pastor. Can we stand to our feet and pray?
Basuta. Let's stand. Tenti pempele utumigwana. Tipempele utitikabanke simene tamfapano. Lika karagade masuta rekade
blanda baya
shakata ragada la basuta rakade
blanda baya tapala
yakata ragade masuta rakada la
batapala blanda
yakata ragade masuta rikadita
la blanda bala
shakata kada basete rekade musuta rakade
yatata
masata ragade makata ragade shakata rikade masuta rikade let there be a rise of children churches. Children churches. Children churches. Children churches. Children churches. In the name of Jesus. Shakata ragade, makata rakata. Masita nakata ragade. Shakata ragade, masuta ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade. Masuta nakakara basita. Shakata regade, masuta ragade. Yakata ragade, masuta ragata namaha. Shakata likaka makuta ragade. Shakata ragade, masuta ragade. Yakata ragade, masuta ragada namahade. Shakaka kakaka. Lopasata ragade. Masuta ragade, masuta ragade. Likaka ragadaya. Shakata ragade, masata ragade. Yakata ragade, masuta ragade. Shukaka ragadaya. Children's churches. Children's churches. We declare the establishment of children's churches. Children's churches. Children's churches. In the name of Jesus. 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 Shakata ragata namahandi. Yakata ragate masata ragade. Likakarabasaya. Shakata ragade. Masata ragata bakata ragade. Yakata ragade makata ragadaya. Shakata ragade. Zakata ragade. Masuta ragata makata ragade. Lakata ragade ne bosa. Shakata ragade. Masuta ragade. Makata ragade. Zakata ragade. Shakata ragade. We pray, mighty Father, the rise of pastors for our children. The rise of pastors for our children. Yes, in the name of Jesus, the rise of pastors for our children. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Shakata ragade, makata ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade. Shakata ragada, masata likatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Shakata ragatanda. Yakata ragatanda. Masata ligade. Makata rigade. Makata ragatada. Pakata ragati. Sakata ragadaya. Shakata lipasata ragade. Masuta ligade. Shakata ragade. Yakata ragada. Masata ragada. Yakata lakatanda. Lakatanda. Masata likatada. Shakata lagada, yakata ragada, mesende likakarabahani, sakata ragadi, makata ragadi, masata ragadia, shakata ragadi, makata ragadi, yikakaragadaya. Children's churches are rising, children's churches are rising, children's churches are rising, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, shakata ragadia, yakata ragadi. Masata ragada, yakata ragada ya, shakata ragade, masata ligade, makata ragade, masata ragade, yakata ragade, makata ragade, yakata ragade, masata ragade, yakata ragade, makata ragade, yakata ragade, masata ragade, shakata la babasa, lopasanda likakarama, yakata ragade, masata ragade. Yakata ragade, masata ragade, shakata ragada la babababasa, lopasanda likata ragadaya, yakata ragade, masata ragade, masata likata, shakata, yakata ragada, yakata ragada, yakata ragada, masuta likatia mahande, masata ragada, bakata ragada, makata ragada, makata ragada. Sakata ragada la mama masaya, lupa sata likata, yakata ragada la basaya.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. I see children's churches arising. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Please take your seat. Amen. Our children are becoming spiritual children.
Hallelujah.
And your children will share with their pastors what they won't share with you.
Amen.
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 And it's good.
Dizabuino.
I said it's good.
Dizabuino.
When my last son was a teenager, he decided that he wanted to see what was inside a nightclub. As his parents, we didn't know. It was years later. We were chatting. And then he said to me, Mommy, do you know that I've been inside a nightclub before? I said, you what? Please, what do you call nightclubs here? Is that what you call it, nightclub?
Nightclub.
Yeah, a place where they go to dance. Yeah. I said, what?
Hey.
Then he said, don't worry. At the time he was telling me this story, he was a pastor already. And then he said to me, oh, don't worry. He said, after going one or two times, I felt so guilty. I went to find my pastor, Mother Erica, and I confessed my sins. I told her what I had done. And she sorted me out. And when he said this, you know, I thank God because I realized if he had told me at that time, I think I would have freaked, you know, I don't know, freaked out, and I don't know, you know. Thank God he had a pastor who he could speak to, who could lead him out of foolishness without all the drama that a parent might have brought. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the children's pastors. Amen, 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 amen. I need to tell you that our children go on outreach, they win souls, they do everything. And Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure at my next visit I'll be seeing some.
Amen.
We are continuing this morning to develop our team. We have dealt with those who are handling the children as we are building our mega church. Amen.
Amen.
Right now, with Bishop Doug's mega church, he has his adult pastors, those he started with, in about 190 churches or something like, 90 countries or something like
that.
And he has his children's churches, those who have grown to be adults now, they are in 30 countries.
Children's church.
So they are no longer children, yes, but they came through the children's church. They are adults now.
Yes.
So you can immediately see what's going to happen as we age and go off the scene. The replacements are already. The replacements are already coming. Yeah. And I have to tell you that when you start a children's church, you will even find children in that church whose parents are not in your church. So it ensures that the church continues to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're looking so serious, I'm frightened. Amen. Now we want to continue. And the next group that we're going to tackle in our walk up our mountain to our mountain church are the leaders. Because a pastor cannot do everything. He must have other people along with him. So that he does not burn out. If you try to do it alone, the work will stop at a point. Let us go to Exodus chapter
18.
I'm reading from verse 13. I don't know if you have the New Living Translation, NLT. I think the version the software you're using should have it, but I'm reading in the NLT, simple English. Exodus 18 from verse 13.
We're at verse 13.
The next day, from verse 13, gentlemen, you have to be following. The next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, "What are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" Moses replied, "Because the people come to me to get a ruling from God." I wonder if, as a pastor, are you able to identify with what he's saying? Let's continue with verse 17.
"This
is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "You are going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself." One of the keys that we need to build our mega churches is the key of having volunteer leaders. Volunteer pastors. Volunteer home cell leaders.
My home church pastors, my home cell leaders,
volunteer missionaries. Volunteer administrators.
My administrator,
volunteer helpers. I am using the word volunteer very deliberately. In other words, all these people who are part of the ministry are not paid for it. They have their secular jobs that they do, but then they are doing this work for the Lord also. Amen.
Amen.
Hello. And it will not just happen. You have to train your people. The reason why Bishop Doug has a lot of volunteers is that he has shown us from the scriptures.
Bishop Doug ali na wanthu ogwira ntchito motere modzipereka ambiri ndifo choti atiphunzitsa ationetsa kuchokera mmalemba.
He has told us in Matthew 22 verse 14 that many are called.
Ationetsa kuchokera ku Matthew 22 kuti ambiri ndoitanidwa.
So we believe that we are called.
Ndife tumakhulupirira kuti ife tinaitanidwa.
We believe that God has something for us to do.
Tikhulupirira kuti Mulungu ali ndi zoti ife tichite.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, you are very quiet again. It's becoming dangerous. Matthew chapter 9.
Mateyu mutwa 9.
I'm reading from verse 36 to 38.
Verse 36 mpaka 38.
But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd.
Ataona magulu anagwidwa ndichisoni fwa anali ozunzika ndosowa chithandizo ngati nkhosa zopanda mbusa.
Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So there's a harvest out there. People all over Malawi are waiting for you. I said people all over Malawi are waiting for you. But I also came to inform you that there are also some people outside Malawi who are waiting for you. In this world of 7 billion people, God has assigned that there are some of them who will be won by ministers from Malawi. So the harvest is plentiful. Jesus never said, pray that the harvest will be supernaturally harvested. No. He said, pray for laborers, for workers, for people who will take part in this work. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your people need to grow up and understand that each and every one of us who is a believer, God is waiting, he's expecting something from us. John chapter 15.
Johannes
15. Let's go from verse 1. I am the true vine, my father is the vine dresser. Verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch. Please stay on verse 2. Every branch. Not branches that are called pastors. Every branch in me. That means every believer. Everyone in
Christ.
He has an expectation. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have died. You may be in the church. You were in the choir. You got angry. You say, I won't sing again. You didn't know he took you away. He took you away. You were doing something.
Yes.
He said, I don't like the way that people are doing the thing, I'm going. He took you out. And our churches are full of people who have been taken out. He says every branch. Every branch. He has an expectation that everybody will be doing something. And the reason why they are not doing something, the reason why they are not bearing fruit, is because we have brought them up like that. We have brought them up to sit down and expect that there's just one blow man who is going to do everything. Which Bible did you read that one
Bible
in? Even Jesus, when he came, he had 12. Ephesians chapter 4.
Verse 11.
And take us to the NLT version, please. NLT version. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. NLT, New Living Translation. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. For what? Verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build the church, the body of Christ. We have turned it upside down. We have written our own scripture. Take us to verse 11 again. In our current world version of this scripture.
Now,
these are the troublesome people Christ gave to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the troublesome people.
Okay. And to how many trouble?
Troubled, I'm troubled. They give us problems.
Antu amene alovuta, amene Yesu anapereka. Olo olokuta avutitsidwe ndi atumwi aneneri alaliki abusa ndaphunzitsi.
Verse 12. They are supposed to be doing the work and building the church, the body of Christ, and we who are in the church, we will be measuring them.
Iwowa. Is
that what your scripture is saying? So how come you have been giving your pastor marks every Sunday?
He
said, nowadays the pastor, I don't know, his anointing is going down. He used to preach 9 over 10, 9 and a half over 10, but nowadays he has been preaching 4 over 10, 3 over 10.
Oh, yeah, but in Kabasa 9 by 10, 9 by 10, come up and open the alima 3 by 10.
Pastor, the reason why your people are sitting down and giving you marks is because you have not trained them to do the work. They are not working. And idle people find work from the devil to do. But the scripture told us what to do. In verse 12, our responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work. What is the work? Why did Jesus come? I came to save souls. Pastor, have you taught your people to save souls? It says, then you teach them to build up the church. In many churches, that the body of Christ is the pastor who has brought people. That's all. That's all. They hear that there's a very nice pastor, she's great, and they come. Or the pastor is the one doing a crusade and they win souls. What is the rest of the body doing? From today, learn that we are supposed to be working. We are supposed to be working. We are supposed to be working. Your home church that has 10 people is supposed to grow 11 people won by you, added to the home church and then into the church. 15 people won by you, brought into the church and added to the church. Amen.
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 We are supposed to be doing the work together. In that picture we started with, where you are trying to get to the top of the mountain, you don't get there alone. You don't get there alone. You get there with your team members. And for many men of God, the reason you don't have a mega church is because you're working alone. But I understand your problem. Because you are wondering how you will get to that place with the people that you have. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11 and verse 16, starting from verse 16. Moses was also working alone. And then the Lord came to confirm what his father-in-law told him, that he cannot do the work alone. So the Lord came to give him instructions. And he said, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel.
Verse 16.
Who you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting that they may stand there with you. Verse 17 is the one we want. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not thyself alone. Amen.
Amen.
When you have people who you are bringing up to become volunteers, you see, the Bible, in fact, God himself is the one calling it the burden. So many things go into it. The burden of evangelism, the burden of prayer, the burden of catering for the sick, the burden for taking care of so many things. But he shows us one key in this scripture. My bishop, can you find some of your people for me and come with them again? Please, will you allow us to do our small drama? Just to make it easier. I hope everybody can see us when we are on this side. It's just that there's space. That's why we're here. Beautiful. Okay, so I have some people who are coming with a man of God. These are his people. Beautiful. I want to show you something. Because this will explain to you why you should not be hopping from church to church. Good, just stand together. My bishop, you come this way. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let us say that this is our man of God. He's a nice man of God, isn't he? So this is Moses. And he has 70 people. Imagine that this is 70. A And the Lord said something. He said, I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. And I will place that Spirit upon them. Are you here? Not that I will just place, you know, I'm just going to anoint them. No. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you. And I will place it upon them. Do you understand now? Why, if you do not follow your man of God properly, you run into problems. Are you in the house? He didn't go for a random anointing. Oh, but pastor, is it not just the Holy Spirit? It's one Spirit. Have you not read in your Bible that it is one Spirit but with many diversities of administrations? When he places you in a place, he takes of the anointing of the pastor. So when you begin to think that you are bigger than the pastor, when you begin to think that I cannot submit to this pastor because he is a small boy, you know, I'm from the south of Malawi. I cannot submit to this man from the north of Malawi. You're getting into trouble. You're getting into trouble. Because God will take of the spirit of that man. Anointing is not random. Anointing, it is not random. It is given for a people, for a place, for a time. My father is a very great pastor. But small. From him, some small anointing from him is on my head. His spirit. Hello?
Yes.
How do you know? How will you know? Everybody has the way they do their things. Look for the fruit. Look for the fruit. Let me show you a scripture.
You can do this.
Are you in the house today? So Philippians 1:7, please. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Is that last bit I want? You all are partakers with me. Give me the King James, please. This new King James is not... He uses a word of my grace, not of grace. Yes. Ye all are partakers of my grace. Every ministry has a grace. It has a grace. And it has what God has commissioned the man of God to do. So when you are in that ministry, for you to thrive in that ministry, for you to have a part in that ministry, you must be a partaker of that grace. And that is why when God was giving Moses people to work with him, he said, I will take of the spirit that is upon you and I will place it upon them, so that it will be the same grace that is operating. Hello? What do we mean when we say a grace? Usually you can see the grace in your ministry by the things you do easily.
Amen.
By the things you do without sweat. What are some of the things you do easily? My spiritual father teaches easily.
It's a grace.
He wins souls easily. It's a grace. He builds easily. He plants churches
easily.
I mean, if you hear the way some of our churches were planted, you will be surprised. But that's because of the grace on that ministry. He gathers young people easily. So if you are in that house and you are a volunteer or helper, those graces come upon you.
Amen.
Because the grace on my father has to do with young people, I also have young people.
Hello? Amen.
Easily. Without a struggle. In case you didn't know, I'm a grandmother. I don't know how many of you like your grandmother enough to be around your grandmother, to talk to her all the time, to be looking at her. It's a grace. Are you there? When they want to get married, they come and tell me, I've been thinking about this young lady, and we sit down and talk about it. I don't know if you've been having such questions, such discussions with your grandmother.
Hello?
But it's because of the grace of my father. So you expect to see those graces.
Now,
what often happens is that among the leaders, some people begin to discount this grace. Because they're getting familiar, they don't think it's anything interesting. And they begin to admire another grace. It has immediately brought a problem. And they will ask you, oh, but is he also not a man of God? Is God not using him? Is he not also a follower? You see, you don't understand. It's not that man of God. He has not done anything. You are out of place. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when you begin to walk according to the grace
upon
this man, you will find out that he has links with other men of God. He relates to some of them as a spiritual father. He is a spiritual son. He has other spiritual sons. You will discover that you flow in the same anointing. Amen.
Amen.
Are you in the house? So you will discover that there's an easy friendship, there's an easy flow, there's an easy something because of the association.
The
so Pastor Esau has a good relationship with our father.
That's
his board member. There's some kind of flow between them. So I'm not surprised that our pastors here are close to him and his wife. It's not surprising. Are you in the house? And you will see the same among you. There are people who you easily bond with.
ndemuonanso kuti chimodzi-modzi pali anthu ambiri amene inunso mumatha kucheza nawo bwino chifukwa cha chisomo chimene chili pa babu anu.
But
koma
first and foremost
choyambirira
is the grace upon your leader.
Ndi chisomo chimene chili pa mtsogoleri wanu.
Amen. Amen. The grace upon your leader.
Chisomo chimene chili pa mtsogoleri wanu.
Eat the food in your mother's house.
Idya ni chakudya cha kunyumba kwanu.
Before you cross over to your auntie's house
Musa
to enjoy your dessert. Exactly. Because the mother's milk is the best food for the baby.
Mkaka wa mai ndiye chakudya cha bwino cha mwana.
Every mother feeds her own baby.
Aliyese mai ama yetsa mwana wake yeka.
Your pastor has the milk for you.
Abusa ano alininka kauti inyo mumwe.
It is after you have drunk it
muka mankaka umenewo
that you can enjoy something else.
Ndiye mukoza kupita nkukadya zina zake.
Let me see if I can explain it this way.
Ndilongosole motere.
When you are eating your mother's food,
mukamadya chakudya cha mai anu,
she gives you a balanced diet.
Ama kupatsani chakudya cha chikwane kwane.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not everything she's cooking that you will like. But she makes sure you drink it anyway. Because it is good for you. After you have eaten it, when you go to visit your auntie, then your auntie will say, oh, I have some cakes over here. Will you like some? And you are able to enjoy the cake.
Ndevu matha kudya makeke aja nkunjoya.
But the day that you say,
koma tsiku limene mudzanene kuti,
I don't like my mother's food.
Sinimakonda chakudya cha mai anga ine.
I like the cakes auntie has been giving me.
Ndimakonda makeke akwa anti anga.
So I'm going to eat cakes.
Ndendi zikadya makeke.
You will soon be suffering from malnutrition.
Posa chedwa apa munyololoka.
Soon it will not be well with you.
Sizikhala sobwino ndi inu.
You have eaten something but it's not okay with you.
Mukudya zina zake koma sizokwanira.
And the reason it is not okay is because you have not eaten your mother's food. But nowadays in the house of God, we have people who despise their father's message. And when a visiting minister comes, they say, that's the food I want to eat. They honor that visitor more than their father. They begin to follow that visitor. They begin to soak in his messages. They don't soak in the message of their father. And very soon, there's a problem. There's a problem. You don't realize that the reason why you can enjoy the cake is because you ate
sima.
Have you ever been hungry before and they brought you cake? You realize you're not satisfied with it. No, you need your supper. And then when they even bring the cake, you'll be looking. Do I want, do I not want? But assuming they have taken away all the sima, they only bring you cake. Will it be okay? You cannot be. From today, there is nobody's word you should honor more than the word of your father in the house. Because it is his anointing that you carry. And after you have enjoyed his anointing, and after it has made you grow like this, that's when occasionally you can say, Daddy, I would like to eat a little bit of this something and you eat
yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Amen.
Find the grace upon your house. Find the word upon your house. Preach the word from your house. that reminds me of these different associate pastors who, when they are given the time to preach, they are preaching somebody else's message. Take us to 2 Timothy chapter 2.
2 Timothy chapter 2.
And verse 2. I have a scripture for you.
2 Timothy 2.
And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Ndipo zinthu zimene unamva kwa ine ndikuziyankhula pamaso pamboni zambiri uziphunzitse zomwezo kwa anthu odalirika amene akuphunzitseso ena. The same.
Don't change the message.
Musasinthe uthenga.
If you are a pastor in PICC,
ngati ndiwe mbusa wa PICC,
can I talk direct?
Kodi ndiyankhulere?
Can I speak direct? The message you should be preaching is your father's message. The word you have heard of him among many witnesses, the same. Commit thou to faithful men.
Hello?
Amen. Oh, but can I not put together my own message? You see, you are doing your original things again. Do you know why? African countries we don't have any car that we have made? Because we are busy trying to be an original. After Germany and all these people had made cars, when the Asians wanted to make cars, they just copied. In fact, the first Japanese cars used to have German engines. Because at that time they had not learnt it well. They kept on putting Mercedes until they learnt it well. Copied well. Then they put it. Today, we are driving Nissan, Toyota. And Africa, we are still here. Looking for our original. I don't know about you, but I am just looking for the anointing on my father. You see, we have had people say, can the Holy Spirit not talk to me? As I have been ministering to you since Wednesday, you have not seen that the Holy Spirit is using me. I said, you have not seen it. But it is the message my father has preached. What I have heard him preach to others among many witnesses. The same message. The same message.
Oh yes.
It's the same message I'm preaching. It's that same message I have preached. It has carried me to many countries around the world. You are wasting time being original. What has your original done for you? It has not even filled your church in the village where you are. Hello. Me, on the back of my father's message. I said, on the back of my father's message, I have traveled. I'm here. I'm here. Hey, you are very quiet. I don't have any original message anywhere. My father's message. On the back of those same messages. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yeah.
The books that I read are the books he has written.
And
then sometimes he says, oh, I read from Yonggi Cho, then I go and look there. He recommends books. He says, oh, I recommend this one.
I have read them because he has recommended.
But I have to be honest with you. When I finish reading, I need him to explain. For me to understand. I don't understand. Are you in the church? But my father's message. I said my father's message. Oh, come on. My father's message. I have it for breakfast. I have it for supper. Sometimes I sleep and it's playing. Oh yes. You are busy being original. Don't worry. Life is too short. From today, eat your father's message. You see, when you eat it, and it enters your stomach, it becomes yours. So what I'm sharing with you is my message. Because it has become mine. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying.
Oh.
It has become mine. After all, when your mother feeds you, and you have eaten her food, and the food has gone to make your leg strong, is it not your leg? So I don't understand your problem. I'm looking at this mega church pastor. I like what I see. Hey, I will sit by it. I will listen and I will listen and I will listen and I will listen. You see, because Paul was speaking to Timothy. I hope people are not tired yet. I'm enjoying your company. Look at verse 1, 2
Timothy 2:1.
Thou therefore, my son. This scripture, Paul was speaking to Timothy, his son.
Man of God,
stop trying to climb the mountain with some strangers. Take your sons. Not strangers. That's why that man you employed, who came to your ministry as a pastor already, you have employed him, he's not your son. And unless he humbles himself, becomes a normal member of your church, and grows from you, he can't become your son. Some messages are for sons. By the way, I'm using sons to include sons and daughters in the English language. Then he says, be strong in the grace. Some of us are in the grace, but we are weak.
It
says, be strong in it. Be strong in it. There are some things I don't see my father do. When we call him a prophet, it's because we realize the things he says come to pass. But I've not yet been at a meeting where he has come and said, my sister, your brazier is red. And your underwear is blue. I have not seen him do that one. So I assume he is not a grace that he has. So I am also not looking to start. No. I have not given anybody's color of boxer shorts or. No. But the grace that I have seen on his life
is
the grace to prophesy over somebody and to tell the person, go over to that corner. You're going to build a mega church there. And I've seen the person go. And I've seen the mega church come up. That's the kind of prophetism I have seen. So me too.
Yes.
I catch my people, I prophesy.
Yes.
Go over to that corner over there.
Peter,
and build a mega church. That's the prophecy that I have seen. That's what I have seen. Are you in the house? I am not despising someone's gift because those prophetic gifts are also there. No, I have to tell you. They are also there. I remember Bishop Doug has prophetic sons like that. And I remember one of them visited my church. A problem I had struggled to solve with a couple. He just sorted.
Bishop Doug, I mean, I now ultimate wa unenering at women on any papa.
The man was visiting us. He started to describe the lady. He said, the lady, you have a shop at this place. You have another shop at this place. I see the shop at this place opposite this, and I see this thing back. Everything he was saying was true. The lady was standing in the congregation. He said, I'm calling you. She still didn't come. Then he said, your telephone number is, and he called the phone number. At that point, the woman arrived like a bullet. And as soon as she arrived there, he said, and your name is this, and your husband's name is that. Is he here?
Alipo.
He also arrived.
Na yeso na figa.
Then he said, that problem, he found a way to say it so people don't know the problem.
This is the source.
Do 1, 2, 3. I am their pastor, I am their witness as I stand. End. There was another couple there. He called them like that. He gave them the solution. He told the woman. He said, this marriage will be rescued by your prayer. Pray and it will solve. If you don't pray, in 2 years, it will be over and you have a problem. As I speak,
Mama,
she didn't pray. The problems continue. 2 years, the marriage is over.
So I'm
just saying, so I'm just saying to say that there are those graces. And we love it. I mean, we are amazed. But the one I'm looking for. I said the one I'm looking for. The one that I'm looking for. To be strong in it.
Is
the grace on my father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you so much. You can take your seat. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you in the house this afternoon? Are you correcting your ways? And then he goes on to say, the things that thou hast heard among of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm still talking to you about your team. I have a few minutes left, so let me just share a few things more with you. Now, you need to train your helpers. Many times we have people who say, I don't have any assistant. There's no free assistant. You have to train them yourself. And so I want to give you some practical steps to train workers in your church. I need to show you some training materials. To train people, you need to organize them. You need to train them. Many of the people in our churches are doing the wrong thing because they were never taught the right thing. And the training starts as soon as the person gives their life to Christ. In the same way as in the physical, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. In that same way, you need to train your new converts. They have many things they need to understand. And Bishop Doug has created a lot of material.
Bishop Doug,
you see, when Pastor Iso was saying you need to get the Makarios,
he was not joking.
It is real. Because all of these books, you can't get them just on the table there. Just get the Makarios. They are all inside it. So I am showing you some of the materials we used to teach them. The first one is this one. How to be born again and avoid hell. Many people have given their lives to Christ, but they don't understand what has happened to them really. But by going through these books with them, they begin to understand what has happened to them. Amen.
Amen.
And they begin to understand it from the scriptures. This is another one that we use. How you can become a strong Christian. The reason why so many people are falling away after moving in the house of God for a short time is because they are not strong in the Lord. They don't understand anything. This book has different chapters. You don't need to do all of it at the same time. But it has chapters like what it means to be a strong Christian. How to have a deep Christian life. How to be a steadfast Christian. How to be a spiritual Christian. How to be a zealous Christian. Pastor, you want all these things among your people, but you have not taught them. And I thank God for a person like Bishop Doug who has put it all here and not just left it for us to struggle to find. We have another book, The Key Facts for New Believers. We use this one as well. Read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. By the time that person has been through what we call the New Believer School, they are beginning to understand better what it means to be a Christian. Amen.
Amen.
They are also beginning to understand that Jesus was serious when he said that when we come to him, he takes our yoke. Yes. But he says, take my yoke. In other words, they begin to understand that even though I bring my burdens to Jesus, I also, he has an expectation from me. Because our churches are full of people who think that all they can do is say, give me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I want, I need. But after a while, they begin to understand that they must work for the Lord. And that is when we begin to train them in the shepherd's school.
Brother,
you are far away. I really need your help to pick the books out. And then they begin to go through the shepherd's training school. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, nowadays you are silent on me again. And these are books that we use to train people. We trained them in this one.
Bukiri.
Transform your pastoral ministry.
Sintani utumiki
wanu
obusa. What
is the work in the house of God?
Kodi nchito ya obusa munyumba ya Mungu
nchayo. It has four parts. Prayer.
Pempero.
Visitation.
Kuyendela antu.
Counseling and interaction. Beautiful. Thank you. Then we take them through the mega church. So already as they are coming, they begin to understand something. Maybe you can read this one for them in what it means to become a shepherd. In fact, it is from this one that you begin to understand that you must be a good volunteer. This afternoon when we return, we'll start on this one, loyalty and disloyalty. And by these four books, they have the skills to become what we call shepherds. I'm sure you may have another name, but they are now working in the house of God. They are not yet pastors. But it is from this group that we will have what you call your home church leader. And this is how this person will understand how to witness, how to do a lot of things to grow his home cell. And after a while, if they are interested, we begin to introduce them to the pastor's training school. What we call IPTP, the Informal Pastors Training Ministry. Training School. Informal Pastors Training. By this time, you are a veteran of the night. Because I'm sure in your mind, you are wondering, when do you do all this training? Apart from the New Believers School, which takes place during the day, after you give your life to Christ, we start immediately. And depending on the church, we have different variations of it. Sometimes we take you away for one Saturday, and then for the whole day we have a retreat with you, and we're able to cover a lot of material.
There
are also others of our churches that will have the New Believers School every week on a Sunday after church. But by the time you are in the Shepherd's Training School, it is a training school.
I said
it is a training. Hello.
Amen.
I noticed in the course of my teaching in this session, sometimes you fall asleep. Right from our Shepherd's Training School, you don't fall asleep anymore. Hello? Oh, not that you are not feeling sleepy. You may be feeling sleepy. But you learn to. You are a soldier. You are being trained as a soldier. So we may be in the shepherd's school and you see somebody get up and stand at the back. He's just trying to keep awake. So by the time you're done with the shepherd's school, or by the time a person is done, you have another worker who is well trained.
Amen.
That's why Pastor Albert could have been up editing pictures till 2 o'clock in the morning and is still here this morning. Push your neighbor and say, if you don't sleep, you won't die. You won't die. Come on now. Listen. There is no time set aside for the work of God.
The
Bible calls Satan the prince of the air. So he has governed the world system such that there is little time for God.
Satana wapangitsa kuti nthawi yopanga zinthu za Mulungu isamapeseke.
So when you decide you want to do something for God,
ndi ukasankha kuti nifane nichitire Mulungu chinthu,
you have to snatch some of the time.
Ndi kuti uchite kusompola nthawi Satana.
I say you have to snatch some of the time.
Usompole nthawi kwa Satana kuti mugwire ntchito Mulungu. Ndi kugwiritsa ntchito nthawi imene.
Now your people are working. They go to work every day.
7
o'clock to 5 p.m. they are working. When are you going to get time to train them? In the evening. I said in the evening. By that time they are tired. And they have to learn to shake themselves.
That's it.
Are you in the church? Can I still? Oh, yes. We had some bishops. They were being appointed bishops. And some of them were my spiritual sons. And one of them, he's always talking about it. And he says that, oh, when we started training, Mommy would take us to her house and put us there and she'll start teaching. And when we are tired, she'll give us coffee to drink. And we'll finish the class at 4 o'clock in the morning. And we'll go back to work. They are not dead. They are powerful men of God, controlling portions of the church in different parts of Ghana. And of course, if they were not sleeping, I was also not sleeping. Are you here? I have to trouble you a bit. I think God sent me to trouble you, so allow me to do the work well. And then because you are sitting down, you are feeling sleepy. I have been here with you since Wednesday. I traveled for 2 days to reach you. Sorry, I traveled for 3 days to reach you. I left my house on Sunday. And I got to Accra. And I got on the plane. And then we spent how many hours in Addis? 5 hours
or so
at the airport. And then we got onto another plane. 6 hours through Lumumbashi here.
6 hours.
I arrived here on Tuesday. Sunday to Tuesday, traveling to reach you. And we started together on Wednesday morning. And I'm here with you every day. I'm preaching 4 or 5 hours a day. I don't know how many hours.
4 hours, 5 hours per siku.
And for every preaching that you hear, of course we have to prepare.
And
of course we have to pray. But I'm still walking here and you are sleeping. And I'm older than you are. You don't believe me. I was born in 1962. I'm 62 years old.
1962. Wow.
Why? Because my father too, that's how he trained us. My father is also not sleeping. He says when you are doing something, do it very well. So when it's time to sleep, you sleep very well. Deep one. But when it's time to work, we work. Amen. I mean, you should come and ask my translator at the end of the day if she's not tired. As I'm talking, she's talking. Talking. If somebody had not trained her,
that's right,
would she be able to do it?
No.
But you are looking for somebody, you will not train your own.
There's
also sleeping you are doing. We don't go anywhere with plenty sleeping. I noticed you didn't translate that one. Amen.
Amen.
And then we have the pastor's training school.
And
after some time,
we have
so many things people are trained to do.
Amen.
Amen. As part of your training, you will have your own converts, you will raise them, you will pray for them to receive Holy Ghost baptism, you will baptize them. You teach so many things.
Bali ya training ina umakala ndi wako amene wambweretsa kwa mbuye umphuzitse kupemphera uzimupempherera umlandirise nzimu oyera.
And all these people are volunteering to work in the house of God.
Anthu osewa angodzipereka osalipirirwa mnyumba ya Mulungu.
And the last school I want to give you is the music school.
Ndi yomaliza amene nifuna ndinene ndi sukulu ya zoimba.
You see, I have to say, it's a deliberate thing. All these things I'm talking about, you must create them. And the music school, we have it for the young people in the church. And it works during the weekends. And when they are on holiday.
Komanso akakhapa holiday.
And after a while, the drummers train drummers, and the guitarists train guitarists, and the pianists train pianists, and they have a pastor who makes sure that everything is done in order.
The muskulu yo, amena matuwa zama drumu, amapunzisa, amena funa kupunzisa, kupunzila madrumu, amena maimba keyboard, amapunzisa, amena funa kupunzila. Komaso valimbusa, amena maonese sa resources ziende bwino.
One of the main training things that we have are camps. Where we go away for some 3-4 days. We'd go away so that you are not distracted by things. And where we can be teaching 14 hours a day, 16 hours a day. We will tell you when you come for the camp that you are not here to eat or to sleep. So any food that you eat is just something light to stay awake and to stay alive. Any sleep is just something to stay alive. By the time you are leaving after those 3-4 days, your spirit is full. Hallelujah. And that's why I also want to use this platform to just invite you to the Give Thyself Holy Conference.
Give Thyself Holy Conference.
Which is, it's a camp with Bishop Dag. And it's a camp he holds for pastors from anywhere and everywhere. Pastor Esau can tell you more about it. He has experienced it. And I'm sure one or two other pastors here have experienced it. But you come back fired up. You come back ready to push. You come back ready to continue moving. You come back ready to continue building. You come back healed of your problems. And this is how we train people.
Wow.
Stand to your feet and start to pray and give birth to your training school. It has to start in your belly. And you have got to give birth to it in prayer. Keep praying.